Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Damashek. What's going down? I hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Damashek football program, presented as always by McDonald's. How do you say that in England there, handsome Hank? McDonald's.
Well, you do. You nailed it.
Get your game time gold, get over there, peel, then text and see if you win. You could win tickets to Super Bowl 50. You could win $500,000 in cash, instant prize giveaways. I apologize to you guys and to you, the audience. I was a little tardy in arriving up here in Studio 66 to do today's show because I have to pepper in the back of my hair there, you see. I'm bald, you know. I make no secret of it.
I see nothing.
Yeah, right.
But
now,
incredible.
I know. It's remarkable what we can do. It's basically a 21st century toupee. So anyway, thanks for bearing with me. Hey, welcome to week 11. It's upon us. We're going to make our red challenge flag picks for you. Of course, the wizard of picking football games, Football Baby, has his picks for you. After a tough 1-2 week, so close, though, to really having his most glorious week of all. Two overtime losses dropped him. Anywho, so we're going to get into all that and the return of one of our very favorites here on the DDFP, Terrence Newman. It's been too long.
We're NFC Defensive Player of the Week.
I know.
Right?
Looking forward to catching up with him.
We've got a star in the building.
Let's say hello, first of all, to the two people joining me in Studio 66. First of all, way over there, to my far left, you watch him give you all the news on NFL Network. It's Patrick Claibon. What's the poop, fella?
Just a great day, Dave.
Is it?
Yeah, because I'm up here hanging out with you. I got red challenge flags in my hand.
You got spirit. No, I thought those were Alabama Crimson Tide towels that you might want to wave now that they're in the Final Four mix. Oh, by the way, you just saw MJD. That was a good little tease back there at the top of the show there. If you want to know what Maurice Jones-Drew's favorite movie is, you're going to have to watch the previous episode. Yeah, that's right. You can find, we're going back, we've been back and forth all season on YouTube now. Full episodes will be available once again. We took a week or two off from doing that, and we were putting them up in segments. We appreciate you clicking into the segments individually and or to the whole show. If you want to listen to it, you can go to NFL.com or you can go to iTunes or Stitcher. There are so many ways to consume the DDFP. And also, you can go to NFL.com to watch the full episode. It streams at 2 p.m. Eastern every Tuesday and Thursday. So if I shilled enough, let's say hello to the man seated to my immediate left here now, all the way from London, England. It's a big game coming up for him. Super Bowl VI rematch against the Dallas Cowboys. It's Handsome Hank, everybody. He's handsome. Time is of the essence, Handsome. I would love to hear your review of Spectre. I know you've seen it.
We should do that sometime. It's a James Bond movie. You know, every James Bond movie I've ever seen starts with Bond. You've gone too far this time. We're putting you on the shelf, and then
spoilers.
Then the movie happens.
It's true. He
you
is.
Know what I mean? He's always like, Bond, you've done it this time. You can't work for us anymore. And that seems to be the start of
that's
every
movie. That's not the way the NFL seems to work most of the time. Right. I guess once in a while you do have those ne'er-do-well slip through, and then the season or at least a game is entrusted to them. But it is weird that the British intelligence world seems to lean on this guy who doesn't play by the rules.
Yeah, you need to take a vacation, Bond.
Yeah,
it's
right.
It's like, okay, while I was on vacation, I killed 8 people, but it's good.
It gives them deniability.
It's sort of like, Jerry Jones maybe is involved in that. It seems like he likes to entrust some guys that don't exactly always play by the rules there. All right, let's get to it. Like I say, we have week 11 awaiting our selections there. As you can see, the viewers at least can see, Football Baby has made his picks. First, though, presented by McDonald's, who are you loving? I'm going to start with you, visitor Patrick Claibon.
I get to go first. Yes. I am loving one Antonio Ramiro Romo getting a chance to make a return.
Ramiro. I didn't know
that's
that was
right.
His middle
Antonio
name.
Ramiro.
I had no idea.
Yeah, this is a guy of multiple names, multiple talents, and his team has been dreadful without him. If you add up Matt Cassel and Brandon Whedon, they've got 7 losses between them. Backup quarterbacks as a total in the NFL only have 17.
I like that. We're comedically starved as a society, however, that people have made so much about his tweet that invoked Major League. All right, settle down. It was cute. It wasn't He didn't, high comedy.
Is this major league slander I'm hearing?
No, no, no. I'm fine with it. I just didn't that people went, wow, that was really something that Tony Romo quoted a movie, everybody. Anyway, Handsome Hank. Who are you loving?
I am loving the fact that Carson Palmer, who is going back to play against the Bengals for the first time since he got traded away from there and had that like big bust up with Mike Brown. People don't, quarterbacks and owners, or players and owners generally don't have bust ups. And instead of doing the cliched, you know, it's just another game, he's like, yeah, I want to win this game. I didn't like it in Cincinnati, and this means a lot to me to win the game. And I just like the fact that he's doing that. He's sort of going away from the cliche. On the other hand, Jay Cutler is going back to play the Broncos for the first time since he got traded away from there. I'm not sure even Jay Cutler recognizes that he played for Denver.
Yeah. Who we got? I'll show up.
A lot of the folks involved in that decision are gone, but I don't think Jay really is going to get that fired up about anything.
No, right, exactly.
No, I've yet to see the circumstance that gets that him will super get him, enthused.
That get him enthused. You'd think this might be it, but I'm pretty sure it's not.
Carson Palmer, by the way, I don't think we gave him, or I know I didn't give him enough credit on our earlier show this week. That drive he put together, up against it. Seattle, two straight drives. He's turning the ball over, really goofy, awkward, kind of fumbling and throwing, dropping the ball.
When it came off his foot.
Not getting help by his O-line at all. He was under siege, and then he drove him right down the field. That was the greatest drive of the season and really swings the NFC playoff picture because it really puts the Seahawks in jeopardy. I will say, and by the way, of course, we have on the other side there, we have Andy. He's not the Red Rifle anymore.
Of course, Andy Dalton.
He's just Andy. He's not worthy of a cool nickname like Red Rifle anymore. Carson.
Was it cool? Kind of cool. Nickname?
Yeah, I think it was. I don't know that he was worthy of it ever. I'm loving the DDFP All-Stars. Yes, we track those who we get to talk with and who we enjoy kibitzing with here in Studio 66 and seeing how they do on the gridiron. And it was a banner week in Week 10. Mm. We mentioned Terrence Newman with the two picks. Jarvis Landry caught a touchdown pass in that game. And I said it, and I'll say it again now. Oh, here it is. If you're looking at the video in Philadelphia, that weird deflected ball that he caught in the end zone is going to cost the Eagles a playoff spot. Our man A.J. Hawk got a sack in what looked like a big one. It didn't end up winning him the game, but still a big one there. Deshaun Goldston housed one. He picked it off and ran it in there.
A safety. One of our safeties.
That's right. Yeah, we really need our full roster laid out here. And then T New, like we say, with not one but two picks. Hashtag DDFP. Join the conversation. Let us know what you're thinking about, what you're looking at, who you're loving in front of Week 11 and perhaps after. Now let's get to very important stuff. And like I say, our picks are important. But really, if you want to make winning picks any week, you want to see what Football Baby suggests you do here. He has a new car. His Momo and Pop-Pop got him.
Is that what he's been doing with all the money?
Yeah, that's the reward for making
all this. Well, actually, I don't want to, it's like a, I don't know if it's a recruiting violation or what, but Momo and Pop-Pop got him a car, and he loves it. So he made his picks from the car this week. Take a look. Week 11, everybody.
Football Baby. The baby who picks football game.
Did you notice the grapefruit in the back? He always drives around. I don't know why that's his thing.
Oh, I do too.
Oh, do you?
Yeah,
you always have one back.
Have some citrus. Yeah, why not?
The car is definitely an impermissible benefit, by the way.
Handsome, next show, let's show a picture of your children, your offspring. Right. I'm starting to get the sneaking suspicion that, in fact, I am not the father.
They do look suspiciously alike.
Look at me. I'm swarthy looking. I'm not flaxen-haired, but your children all are. In fact, Football Baby looks like he might have come from your loins. Disconcerting stuff. Yeah. We'll have to break that down at a later date.
Maybe we could do a DNA test at some point in the future.
Hey, don't kid yourselves, though. He's 53-20, people.
Right.
I mean, he knows what he's talking about. He's 22-7 on the season, so you should pay heed to his word. And, like I say, two overtime games last week that he lost. Otherwise, he'd be even better, but still pretty good. Hey, the Dolphins and the Cowboys are playing each other. Something that we've been doing here is we like to obviously debate who's going to win the actual game, but if you break it down and you reduce the teams to their mascots, to what they're represented by, a lion or, you know what the teams are. There's Dolphins.
I know the teams,
There's a Cowboy, there's six shooters. So we considered it this time. Literally, what if a cowboy fought an actual dolphin? Who would win that fight? Take a look.
Let's get ready to matchup with Matthew.
In one corner, standing 5'8", sporting a 10-gallon hat atop his head, his trusty six-shooter at his hip, and an unironic mustache on his lip, it's a cowboy! In the other corner, floating 8 feet long, entering with superior swimming skills and a shrill singing voice, it's a dolphin! Here we go. By the by, a tip of the old white hat to the good guy, Cowboy, who'll greet in advance to meet the dolphin down Rio Grande way, or Red River, or some other body of water, see? Classy, partner. But it's unforgiving by the dolphin, who delivers a magnificent 7 flipper shots to the side of the cowboy's head. That six-shooter's no good in the water. In fact, it's just weighing that cowpoke down. What's he got in the other hand, though? It's a fistful of dollars, and he's now stuffing them into the mammal's blowhole. Ride 'em, cowboy. Who's a fish out of water now? Down goes dolphin. Down goes dolphin. I'll tell you, I'd love to see that one again, even if it costs a few dollars more.
Boy, that play-by-play guy made a lot of puns there.
He really did.
He loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He made a lot of
It's a fair fight, I think, in the end. I'm not sure that the cowboy should have really been touching anyone's blowhole.
But, go ahead and say it there, handsome. Go ahead and say what you said. You had a little punch-up to offer, a little too late, but still.
Well, I suggested that if it was in the sea, what the dolphin would do is offer to give the cowboy a ride. Everyone wants a dolphin ride. People go crazy for that thing. Take the cowboy out to sea, all the way out to sea, and then just say, all right, good luck getting back again. That's how you win.
This is a startling murder plot by this dolphin.
Yeah. Well, yeah. They're very intelligent animals, you know, Patrick. Dolphins are no joke. They're no dummies.
I see this more of like a self-defense thing, because the cowboy is obviously used to wrangling animals and mammals, but now, you know, the dolphin has a chance to
speak. This is a cowboy who's on vacation in Mexico or something that's had this opportunity to ride a dolphin.
All right, keen analysis there, and we're going to get some keen analysis on the 2015 Minnesota Vikings right now. Then we'll come back. We already talked to him, Hanson and I did, our old pal Terrence Newman. Then the Red Challenge flag picks for Week 11. Let's take a look at our conversation with Terrence Newman. Ah, looky here, handsome Hank. He is currently the NFC Defensive Player of the Week for those two interceptions he had in the East Bay. But more importantly, a dear friend of the DDFP returning after so long away, Terrence Newman. What's the poop, fella?
What's going on, fellas? I've missed you guys.
It's good to see you.
Yeah, the Englishman, handsome Hank, is here to see you if you'd like to greet him with your British accent.
Hank is always so well dressed.
Thank you very much, and so are you. Sporting
the purple. I appreciate it.
Hey, so Mazel Tov on that on those two picks up there. That was quite a thing against Derek Carr and company.
I appreciate it. I mean, I got to thank my D line. They got some pressure up there, and they've been doing that all year. So all I had to do was catch it.
Well, good for you, and good for the decision. The last time we spoke, you had decided to stick around, and you went up to Minnesota.
Right.
And so I don't think we've actually talked to you since you put the purple uniform on. Has all worked out for you up there? Are you happy with the choice you made?
Yeah, I'm more than happy. I mean, I got my favorite coach here, and you know, got some more favorite coaches. We got an excellent coaching staff here, and a pretty good team. You know, we've been playing well. So, I mean, with that, you can't be dissatisfied.
How much has been going up with Coach Zimmer going up there? How much has it been you actually being kind of a coach with some of the players there, knowing his scheme so well?
Yeah, they leaned on me quite a bit in OTAs and training camp, because obviously I've been in the situation where I played for Coach Zimmer for several years. So it was easy for me to kind of, you know, just help out with some of the young guys and tell him what exactly he was expecting from us.
Yeah, it's funny. I had forgotten that. When we also last spoke, we kept talking about, we lamented, what is taking so long for Mike Zimmer to get a shot as a head coach? I guess it's working out. I guess we were all right that he is cut for the head job.
Well, obviously you see that the guys that didn't hire him a couple years ago, you know, they made a mistake. And I'm sure, you know, the people here, they're ecstatic to have him here. I'm ecstatic to be playing for him, and you know, all is well.
Do you realize that when you got to the league in 2003, there were iPods, and in 2015, we're now on the iPod. What is it even? The iPod 5 or 6?
It's not an iPod, it's an iPhone.
iPhone, I should say. That's weird to think about, isn't it? Puts things in perspective.
I didn't think about it until you just brought it up. I think we're on like the eighth generation iPad now. Technically, I guess it would be like the eighth generation iPhone now, because they got the S's that come out with it as well.
Yeah, right.
So it just makes me sound younger, I guess, with the S.
I think it's a badge of honor. You know, what do people want more than anything in any career is longevity, and you have it, man. And you just won the Defensive Player of the Week, no less. It's not like you're hanging in. You're barely hanging in there. You're a key member of a team that might just win the NFC North.
Well, I mean, I take it as I was the one that got the award, but technically my defense, you know, they earned it. So that just gave me the put my name on it, but my defense earned it for sure.
Speaking of your team, the first team you were on, 2003, I asked the producers to dig this up for me just to see if you could remember. The Dallas Cowboys of '03 has some pretty interesting names on there. Quincy Carter was your starting QB. Tony Romo was a rookie in camp with you there. Your wide receivers, this is a good trio, Antonio Bryant, Joey Galloway, and Terry Glenn. And your tight end, well, not your starting tight end, but one Dan Campbell. What was Dan Campbell like?
Dan Campbell was an intense football player. Hard-nosed, tough guy that worked hard every single day. Definitely learned a lot about his work ethic. And anybody could appreciate a guy that comes to work every day and brings his lunch pail.
Handsome, and you, you know, now he's coaching Handsome Hank's favorite football team.
That's
down
right.
There in Miami.
That's right, doing a nice job as well. But it must be strange seeing a guy who you played with suddenly elevated to head coach.
You want to talk about feeling old? That's when you feel old. when a guy you played with is now a head coach, that's
exactly.
When you feel old.
Is that going to be you?
I don't know about that one. Hopefully I got a couple more years before I have to decide that. So it'll come to a point when I do have to make that decision, though.
Well, listen, we also are saving a chair for you here in Studio 66
right.
When you choose to join us as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind a seat next to you guys.
Well, we got, you know, we have Ike Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew, you know. We'd love to see T-New join us as well.
Hey, I'll be there. Just keep my seat warm.
We'll do that, yeah.
Hey, going into this week's game against the Packers, that's a team that's won, I think, the last four NFC North titles. With them perhaps not playing as well, or at least that's what everyone's saying, as they have been, do you guys see, like, a little opportunity to get the Vikings even further ahead of them and maybe in the race for that NFC North title this year?
Well, I think every day you wake up, you have opportunity. You have opportunity to be a better person. You have opportunity to get better at your job. You have an opportunity to impact somebody around you. So, I mean, with that being said, I think every day that we wake up and, you know, able to play the game of football, we have an opportunity to get better, you know, as a team, individually, collectively. So that's the same mind frame we're going to take into this weekend. And, you know, we want to just win a game.
I like how when Handsome says title. Title. You have a chance to win the division title.
Title.
Title. The Tennessee Titans.
He sounds like a tall Napoleon.
Got to win the title.
Yeah, you know what? You know, you say keep your seat warm. It's about to get cold up there in Minneapolis. You ready for that, T-New? For your sake, you get to play some home playoff games this year. If everything breaks right, I'm rooting for that. But are you ready to be, I don't know how cold it gets up there in January.
I'm from Kansas. I've had all types of weather.
Yeah,
it gets cold in Kansas, so I'm definitely ready for it. We got 7 more games and, you know, play a regular season games. They could bring whatever they want to. We'll be ready for the cold weather for sure.
Oh, yeah. I always think that the Vikings should always be outdoors. What a home field advantage, especially all these southern teams coming up to you. Imagine the Falcons or Panthers. They'd be completely out of their depth playing in sub-zero temperatures. That would be a nice move.
Well, I think that the fan base here brings an advantage in its own. These fans get loud, and they love watching us play. So, you know, that's the advantage that this team hopes to have, you know, when – you know, see the next 7 games, you know, playing at home, definitely. We've got some great fans.
I hail you again for your, you know, for how long your longevity in the league. Do you know the year you got to Dallas, Del Curry had just retired from the NBA. Now his son is the best player in all the NBA, Steph Curry. How about that news?
Oh, shot to the stomach. you just had to bring up, like, or do you try to make me feel old today?
No, these are compliments, T-New. These are good. This is a good thing.
I gave you a compliment saying it looks like you lost 15 pounds and all of a sudden you gotta poke me with the old jokes. Okay, I see how it is. I see how fast I've fallen from grace.
This is praise, Terrence Newman. This is not, these aren't old jokes. So let's talk about a key figure who skews a little younger right now. Teddy Bridgewater. What, you know, everybody, when he got to the league with the glove, is he wearing the glove? Is he not? Whatever. But ever since then, obviously pretty productive for you guys, and you guys have been winning a lot of games with him. What's he like as a guy?
I mean, he's a really, really humble, very hard-nosed, hard-working guy, very cerebral, you know, doesn't make mistakes, you know, make sure that if our team has to, you know, there's something that doesn't work, you know, that we're able to punt. I like him all around as a football player, but he's even better off the field.
Is Terrence Newman, look at the man in the mirror, is Terrence Newman having a good 2015 season?
I think, me personally, I judge it on the team. And, you know, by our record, I think that, yeah, I would say yeah. But, you know, I'm definitely not satisfied. A lot of football left to play and can get a lot better for sure.
Look to your right. This guy's giving you the eye right here. The Viking guy. He's staring you down. Turn hard to your right. Look, he's staring right at you. Yeah, see, look at
intensely.
He takes no BS. That's for sure. Look at that face.
You can see that. Yeah, I like that. That must be intimidating to your foes. Good luck, Aaron Rodgers. That guy's waiting for you. You know. And Terrence Newman. Oh.
Right, exactly. Don't scare him, though. He might not like that.
I have one more for you. Terrence Newman, you've been in the league so long. Pierce Brosnan was James Bond when you joined the league. Now Daniel Craig is done with his run as James Bond. He's done 3 movies and says that's it. How about that?
I think they're both great actors. And, I mean, you know, women like both of them, so either way you can't go wrong. I mean, you got to go through there's 4 seasons in a year, so there's always going to be some change.
Do you think you could be the next James Bond? If Daniel Craig's done, do you think you could just slide straight into that role?
Heck yeah, I could be James Bond. They just need to sign me up today.
Let's hear a little. Like Bond, James Bond, shaken, not stirred.
Bond, James Bond. I like a vodka martini, shaken, not stirred.
Oh. I think they'll write you straight in.
Handsome, that's up to you. I think you're the one who gets to vet the next James Bond.
I get one of the votes. Yeah, I get one of the votes.
But do I need the English accent, though?
Yeah,
do I need the accent, though?
Well, you've got the accent. We already know that you had it. So that you've already completed that part of the role.
Now you guys love embarrassing me. I get it. It's cool. We're friends like you. Who needs enemies?
Well, if that's the case, Terrence Newman, we embarrass ourselves
exactly.
Times 10.
Exactly.
Well, at least it all goes around.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Hey, we have the big pie off coming up next week. What's your favorite kind of pie?
You know what? I really don't eat much pie.
What?
I'm dead serious.
Cake?
I indulge in a little cheesecake from time to time, mm-hmm. but I try to stay away from the sweets.
Oh, I see, Terrence Newman. All business. I like that. Keeping yourself nice and fit.
Red wine is my dessert.
I like that.
That's right.
Yeah, I enjoy some red wine.
I like it actually not just for dessert.
Hey, last question, Terrence Newman. I'm a big fan. I don't care what, these are not jokes. These are not shots at you. I hail you for your longevity, like I say. Where does Terrence Newman, though, rank himself of all the people he knows? Not as a football player, as a human being. Are you in your own top 5? Are you in your own top 20? Because I always say I'm like in my own top 25.
Yeah, see, I don't rank myself, though. That's the thing. Like, I think that's for other people to do. I've met some great people. I continue to meet some great people. So, you know, they've impacted me and I've impacted them. So that's the way I look at it. I mean, if you surround yourself with great people, then, you know, you can't go wrong.
Who do you like better, you or Handsome Hank?
I think I'm going to take me just because.
You should.
Good choice.
Yeah, just because it's me. I mean, I can't not like myself.
Exactly.
What about you or the guy to your immediate right that we were just talking to?
I'm going to take... He's got a sweet live-ass beard. I got to take me still, though. I got to still take me.
I wouldn't mind seeing you with a big blonde mustache like that, yeah, though. That might be a good look.
Hey, Hank, say that again.
A what?
A big blonde what?
Mustache.
Mustache.
I don't even know what that word is that he's saying.
A big blonde mustache.
Mustache. Yeah,
oh, mustache. Okay, yeah. I get
now,
it.
Now we're all on the same page. Hey, Terrence Newman, we're all on the same page with this. We're rooting for you to stay healthy and keep on playing the way you're playing out there, and we wish you and the Vikings great success the rest of this way. Get up there. Go man up now on those Packers receivers. That's what they're doing now. Press them at the line, right?
I appreciate it, my fellas. Mazel tov.
Mazel tov to you, Terrence Newman. Like you asked, we'll keep a seat warm for you here in Studio 66 whenever you're ready to join us full time or even for you know, just a day out here in Southern California.
I'll see you guys in the off season.
All right. See you soon.
The great Terrence Newman, everybody. Go get them Packers this weekend.
Damoshek, David Damoshek.
Good to see our old pal T New there. I don't know if he loved the old man jokes as much.
I don't think he did.
I don't think he did either. But you know what? I say what I want to people, but if you say it back to me, that's when it becomes an issue.
A lot of people have that policy.
In my narcissistic worldview. All right, let's get to it. Get ready to sing. It's time for the Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
All right, well done, both of you. Good work there, Claybon, as well.
We pray.
And let's start, like I say, Packers, Vikings, NFC North. Big one. How say you, Claybon?
NFC North leading Vikings.
Really? Well, in that case...
All right!
I'm going to throw a flag on that straight away.
Fire right out of the gate. I love seeing the flash of red.
So look, I don't know what's wrong with the Packers. I think everyone spent a lot of this week guessing what's wrong with the Packers. But they, I mean, of all the games, this is one they have to win. They can't let the Vikings take a one-game lead in that division.
Well... Practically, they have to stuff the run. They have to take away Adrian Peterson. If they do so, then they're in good shape on that front. And then it comes down to Aaron Rodgers. And is he going to lose another game here? I'm sure he's sick of hearing about it. We haven't heard any R-E-L-A-X out of him this week because I think there's a legitimate reason for concern here. Nevertheless, I'm sorry to be like that old school kind of cynic. But let's see the Vikings do it in a big spot, and then I'll swing to their side. The Packers have dominated until somebody knocks them off head-to-head in a big spot here. I'm going to continue to ride with
the schedule. The schedule hasn't allowed them to relax, and they've played the Panthers and then the Broncos, and those are two good defenses, and now they're going up against the number two scoring defense in all of pro football.
I hear you, but the Lions was a little inexplicable.
Oh, yeah, that's an outlier.
Yeah, that's weird.
24 years.
Well, all right, now there can't be any outliers left if they still want to win the division. Handsome Hank, next up. Fascinating tilt. You mentioned the Jay Cutler factor, not mentioning Brock Osweiler. You know Broncos, Bears.
It's Brock Osweiler's birthday as well.
And on this game?
On this game. And John Fox is going back to play his former team as well.
B.O.
That's right. It's everything. I am going with the Bears.
Ah, I was hoping you were saying the Brocks.
Yeah, there you go. No, yeah,
he baited us with the birthday stuff. Yeah,
the Broncos. I can't be the first to say that. The Broncos.
The Broncos?
You might
the Denver
be.
Broncos.
Yeah, I've never heard that before.
All right, go ahead.
I've got the Bears as well.
All right. I'm going to be the one who says the Broncos. B.O. is going to do it. Let's remember, throw it all you want. Let me tell you something. Don't forget that this team is 7-2. You know, it's not like the defense has suddenly vanished and they get Aqib Talib back after the 1 week suspension. The Bears are playing reasonably well, but they're not world
beaters. They're playing
pretty
well.
I know they are. I'm going to take the Broncos to bounce
back. My friend
back.
Bucky Brooks wrote a good piece on why the Bears offense is working so well at the moment.
And he was great on the podcast earlier this week. Dig that up, breaking down Brock
truth.
Osweiler. Next up, Bengals, Cardinals, Andy, Carson, Claybon, choose.
Cardinals.
I think that, I think it all works out pretty well for Carson when he goes back to play the Bengals.
I agree. Well, he doesn't have to go back. They have to come to him, and that's good news. And I think who should really be nervous about this one is one Andy. Andy loses this one, it's going to be, the conversation's going to get even more momentum, and it's going to start getting sideways on him. I don't know about, well, maybe he wins this game. It's not like they have no shot in it. But if we're all right and the Cardinals win this one, it's another week of, Andy, what's going on? It's a two-game losing streak and all that.
Yeah, and by the way, the Steelers are catching up.
Yep.
It's a conversation that Andy's had to deal with for a pretty long time.
Yeah, he's never dealt with it very well. As recently as Monday night, he didn't deal with criticism very well. D.C., Carolina. Handsome, how say you?
The Panthers will win this one.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a gimme.
Why are we even talking about this game?
It's, I don't think it's a gimme.
Like, well, who picked this one?
Because teams lose football games. I wouldn't be sure. Yeah, you know, nobody goes undefeated.
It's a reasonable argument.
Yeah. One team has gone undefeated. Yep. So you can, you know, if you want to play that, play those odds, then you, DC might be a.
The fact that that's the best argument you can make.
I'm not going to make it. I got Carolina.
Losses exist.
Kirk Cousins against that. It's going to catch up to Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. But great victory by him with his ailing dad watching him in DC. So I was happy to see that. Next up, Dallas Cowboys, Miami Dolphins. Super Bowl VI rematch. Claybon, how say you?
Yeah, you know who I'm loving. I got the Cowboys in this game. Tony's back.
Answer. I'm afraid Antonio Romero is not going to be winning this game.
Yeah! See, that's loyalty, Hanson.
That's not loyalty. Loyal. I'm thinking with my head as well. I believe that the Dolphins, yes, they get Tony Romo back, but the quarterback's first game back is not going to be, I don't think he's going to be like Tony Romo again. He's going to be finding his way, and the Dolphins haven't played that badly recently.
I hear you, but it could just be rust, though. I think he would have been ready to play. I think he's been ready
be
to go a little bit for. Well, okay, so the rust factor is perhaps
and the
legit.
Dolphins offense, you know, I look back at that Eagles game again. They didn't play. They got down in a hole early, and they definitely can't afford to do that against the Cowboys. But the offense got things going pretty quickly after that.
How about that? We didn't realize it until we talked to Terrence Newman, Dan Campbell versus his old team too. How about that?
Right.
High comedy. You want something that I think would be funny is for Tony Romo to do the major league bit and then get whipped by four touchdowns. that would make me laugh.
Yes.
While everybody else guffaws over him. Doing a movie quote. Terrific. All right, I'm going to take the Cowboys in that one, though. Sorry, Handsome. Lastly, our Monday night game. By the way, nobody's been giving enough credit to the Thursday night and Monday night games. Everybody loves the belly. Like, oh, these games are all so crummy. You know, not this year. They've been a lot of good ones. Only a couple bad ones, really.
In fact, tonight, Thursday night, is the 100th Thursday night game. I was shocked by that. That's a lot of games.
We got here quick.
I imagine a lot of people will be hearing or watching this after the fact, but my eyeballs are not excited for.
No.
I don't know.
Color rush.
We didn't react to it properly, though. Maybe I'll have to do it on next week's Sheck Report, but do go look at the Sheck Report on YouTube. It's still up there for you. It was a good one. But it's going to be interesting. I should have addressed the uniform issues from last Thursday night. A lot of people making Christmas jokes with the green and the red. I didn't find it as repellent as perhaps I should have, but tonight has a dangerous vibe.
More on the Jags side?
That all gold. I don't know how that works out.
Is that gold?
I don't know what it is. It looks like their Academy Awards, Living Oscar Awards. Bills, Patriots, Handsome, choose.
Take a guess.
You're going with the Patriots.
Yes.
I'm doing this today.
Is the bloodiest red challenge flag in some time. This is one of the biggest
everywhere.
Yes.
The offensive line, Deion Lewis, Julian Edelman, eventually the injuries are going to catch up. They have to. And they have to have some sort of impact on Tom and what he's able to do. It took him throwing for more yards than anybody ever has against Rex Ryan for them to barely squeak away that comeback attempt from the Bills in week two. I think the Bills are better than they were then. That's why.
But Rex is going to overcook them again. They're going to be super overexcited about the game, and it just won't work out.
But he's taking a page from, you know, he's complimenting Bill Belichick, so he's been effusive in that regard. It's very like Lou Holtzy or somebody else. Oh, we got to, I don't know, got to show up for this one. Rex Ryan usually has more bravado. I kind of like this new thing that maybe he downplays it to the public. I don't know. Maybe this is a new Rex, a more effective Rex.
We know what the old Rex is, so no one's buying the new Rex, right?
I will take the Patriots as well.
Understandable.
But the only reason I'm doing it is the same reason I took the Packers. Practically, you're 100% right. The Bills have every chance in the world to go in there and steal this game and turn the football world upside down by knocking down Tom Brady here. We know he doesn't like the pressure there. All right, Handsome, you got to run, so you go. And let me just tell you real quick here, thanks for joining, Handsome. And we will see you, and maybe Claybon, and maybe Black Tie, and I know Emma VP for Pie Off 4. Don't miss it.
I'm coming for you.
Next Tuesday, the two-time champion, Dan Hanzus, the reigning champ, really the ladies Hanzus, he instructs them to do his bidding, and he has them make a pie. Handsome made his own pie, a delicious treacle tart, way back in the inaugural pie-off. We'll see what he has in store. A lot of storylines. Emma VP has promised some sort of a crisp Black Tie. I don't know if he's going to show up, if he's going to do his annual bit of no showing.
Yeah, the 7-Eleven pie.
That, Jamaican know, beef patty.
That's something.
That was an ugly event when he brought a Jamaican meat pie from.
No, Jamaican beef patty, Shaq.
Meat patty?
It was
Jamaican
a patty?
Jamaican beef patty. It's delicious. Never had it?
I did have it. I had one bite. I shan't have it again as a result. You've not had one, Claybon?
No, I've yet to indulge.
This is gonna be. We've had to go out of this studio to bigger digs. We're going to do it out on one of the fancy TV stages because of all the competition.
I'm ready for this. I've got some pie ideas.
All right.
And I want to be a sleeper pick for somebody.
Well, I mean, I don't know. I can't call you a sleeper. I have no idea what kind of baking you're capable of.
That makes me a sleeper.
The big trick here is. There's only a committee of one who votes on this.
Right.
So I like when people show up, the arrogance to show up with like, no, my apple pie will change your opinion on this. I don't like apple pie.
No.
I'm the voter. Don't you have to please me?
I'm not going to pander to, you know, common sensibilities. I'm here to pander directly to you, Dave.
I'd like to announce my new sleeper pick in 2015, Patrick Claybon. I like where your head's at, kid. You got a good shot in this one.
Thanks, bro.
Hey, real quick, before we let you go, because we always are so rushed with you, just real quick, I hate to put you on the spot, but we've been talking about Final Fours here, and I know you're a big college football guy. Give us your Final Four as it stands.
As it stands right now, Oklahoma State would be the four pick. I'm not really excited about a Notre Dame-Clemson rematch.
Me neither.
And then we can keep the top three the same. They have Alabama and Ohio State play again. Let Clemson and Oklahoma State go at it.
Not that it makes a difference in the way they stack them because they'll send the 2 and 3 against each other, but Alabama should not be ahead of an undefeated Big Ten team. Ridiculous. They lost the game to Ole Miss, no less.
I don't understand bringing like a conference into it, though.
What do you mean?
Why does it have to be an undefeated Big Ten team? Why not like... you're talking about
Ohio
State?
Because it's the same
State?
As divisions. Because the college conferences equal NFL divisions. That's the structure that's imposed on it.
That play the entire division twice, you know, home and away.
I understand.
We get more structure versus this kind of
by the same logic, an AFC South team gets a playoff spot whether they deserve it or not, but they're still going to be ranked lower than the Patriots if they finish 15-1 or whatever. That's the same logic applied here. Alabama lost the game in a good conference, but either way, they're lower down, and therefore that should be reflected in how they're seeded.
Whether or not it was a conference game, I mean, they lost the game, so.
In their home joint. Anyway, all right, so it's fun talking college football. That's heating up as well. Football. That's what we talk about here. We also talk about the game called Life. What's that, Black Tie?
We asked MJD last episode about his favorite movie. Let's get Patrick Claybon's favorite movie.
Oh, that's a good call there. Yeah, I like that. Go ahead, lay it on us.
Well, favorite movie is Terminator 2, Judgment Day.
Whoa, that's a good choice there.
It used to go back and forth between Return of the Jedi and Judgment Day, but honestly, when I'm looking at it, it's Judgment Day. That's my favorite movie.
So that's interesting. So two sequels.
Right.
Are you know, to me, I always respect, and I understand Empire Strikes Back is better than Star Wars New Hope, probably stacked up against each other, and Lord of the Rings, the second one, The Two Towers, is better.
Yes.
Probably on the page than the first one. But I have great respect for the originals when they stick their necks out with what the picture is, with what it is. Imagine both Star Wars and Lord of the Rings. When you see, they have a bunch of extras running around in silly costumes out in fields and all that kind of stuff. and you get so into it. I mean, it could easily have gotten ridiculous. So you could be laughing and making jokes. How many bad movies with silly outfits do you like, this is an embarrassment, I don't want to look at it. But you are so into it, and they bring you into to that universe, and you're all in, and you don't even think about, well, I'm a grown human being watching other grown human beings running around in silly costumes. It deserves our respect.
It does. And thinking about it, the reason that I like those movies as sequels is I get the payoff that was promised in first movie. And so I get to realize Luke is a full Jedi. I get to see at that point, before we had 17 sequels after that, the idea that Skynet had been defeated in the past by John and Sarah. So
you're a completionist, and I like that you ignore what came after those Terminators, because then they get off the rails. But as I've said many times, Terminator 1 and 2, you can't go and see those movies and then complain like, well, time travel's a silly idea. Then don't go see the movie.
Right.
But if you're going to invest and go and sit in the movie knowing it's about time traveling, that movie is airtight. Those two movies. The logic that they employ is airtight. You can't find a loophole in like, well, if he could go back, if the T-1000 or the 1000 could go back, right? You know what I'm saying?
No, you're going to have a causality discussion in any time travel movie.
There are a lot of movies, though, you watch.
Best as they possibly could.
There are a lot of movies where there are loopholes, and you say, like, well, that couldn't happen because then that, how would that get there? But the logic of Terminator and the time travel is remarkably perfect. Then, like I say, T3 and whatever.
Yeah, we just pretend that didn't happen.
Yeah, that's how I like to do it. Same goes for the fourth installment of Indiana Jones. It's not funny.
Yeah.
That's not something to laugh about.
I do it just out of an uncomfortable sense.
Yeah, like, oh, you're pretending there's a fourth.
There's some joy in that, you know, but there's no joy.
It makes me feel sad. You know what's going to make me happy, though?
What we got?
Pie Off 4.
Yep.
Join us on the other side of week 11. We'll also try and take some time to break down week 11 for you. But, of course, Pie Off, the big star, coming up next week. In the meantime, thanks to Terrence Newman, Black Tie, Emma VP, everybody behind the glass. You know what? Gangbusters work to Keith Black and to the Goth Kid, Matt Gothard, for their work on that great literal matchup.
Yeah,
they've been working a lot on those, as well as our animators here at the NFL. I think those things are kind of cool.
Yeah,
I like those.
Nice.
I think in the offseason, big battle royale between all the mascots. All right. So like I say, back for more action on the other side of the weekend. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven. Freeze this!
Find out more on the next DDFP.